All right. I want to talk to you tonight, and I titled it, it's probably not the best title, but The Art of Being Filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
The skill, or the, can I do some things to be filled with the Spirit? Well, the Bible says you can. And I'm not talking about feeling it, but I'm talking about being filled with it. And how many know that there are oftentimes where it's like, I don't feel it at all, but I need it.
Right.
I'm going through a really rough patch. I don't know what to do. I need the Spirit of God to fill me up. I need to have that assurance that I'm hearing from heaven, right? Yeah. And some of us tonight will be able to relate to some of the things I'm going to talk about, and others will go, really? That really happens? And because there are things in the Spirit that happen that sometimes don't make sense to the natural man, but they're real.
Amen.
And there's some awesome things that come out of it, but we need to be doing that on purpose. So a couple of scriptures that I want to go to first. Go to Luke chapter 24 and listen to what Jesus said. In verse 48, he said, "And you are my witnesses of these things." In other words, he's saying to his disciples, you saw everything I did. You showed, you know, you're the ones who are going to take the message that I've given you to the world. And how many know they did that?
Amen.
How many know that we're here tonight because they did that? That, and there's one scripture that says they turned the world upside down because they did that. But watch this now. In verse 49, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Endued means you're clothed with it. It's you're robed with it. It's like that feeling of having a cloak put over you. You're endued with it, but it's not just that. You're empowered with it.
Amen.
And not your power, not my power, but His power from on high.
Amen.
Wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Glory to God. How many have ever needed that?
Amen.
I depend on it all the time. But let's go now to Acts chapter 1. And it's interesting because those are the last words of Luke's gospel, but Luke is the author of the book of Acts too. So it's kind of like this is the next chapter in the story that he's telling.
Yeah.
Right? So in verse 4, he says, "And being assembled together, they commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You've heard from me.' For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You've been baptized with water, with repentance and other things, but there's another baptism. There's the Spirit baptism that's going to come. But wait, don't leave yet until you're endued with that, until you receive that. And in verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power again." You shall receive power. And that word power here is, yes, the miraculous, wonder-working power of God, which we all crave and love and have been a part of and have seen. But it also means ability. So why is that important? You shall receive the ability from on high to do what I've called you to do.
Amen.
And sometimes it's the ability to go through what you have to go through.
Amen.
Right? Because sometimes, and I'll say this as nicely as I can, sometimes life sucks.
Amen.
right? I mean, at the present moment, what you're going through, it may be pain, it may be whatever, but he said that when you receive, when you're endued with this power from on high, there's a source for supernatural ability to get through what you're going through.
Yes.
Or to do what I've called you to do. You shall receive power. And again, in Acts chapter 2, he talks about, you know, when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I think many in this room, if not all, have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. When you receive that, you received power. You are the storehouse of power that God wants to use, and he wants that to be evident in your life so that you can be a witness of all Jesus has done and all he can do. Does that make sense? But oftentimes we live our life out and stuff happens, and we forget that we have power. He said, you shall receive power. So when I was filled with the Spirit, I received power.
Amen.
That power is not gone away. That power is still available to me.
Amen.
Now, in walking with the Lord, and I'll relate this, but walking with the Lord, I've received many tools in ministry and walking with the Lord. Like I've learned how to pastor. I've learned how to lead. I've, you know, some of the things I'm still learning, but I've learned certain things, and I've gotten tools in a tool chest, but I still need to be hooked up to the power.
Yeah.
Let me just demonstrate that to you just a little bit. When I go to Home Depot to get something, I inevitably go to the tool section. What do I need? What do I need now? Right? And I mean, I have 4 battery operated drills. And what do you need that many? I just do. I need those. But watch this. There's something that has to happen, because those batteries, you'll be using them and they'll be drained. And so here's what I do. If I got the screw, I've got that screw gun, and I'm going it in, and all of it goes, "Arr." Well, I don't want to go charge the battery and wait 10 minutes. So I began to push on that thing and use it like this, trying to get that screw to go in. That's dumb. I mean, I've done it, and I'll still do it again, but the reality is, if I would have just waited, recharged the battery, I could have hooked it up and went, vroom. Now watch this. Many of us go through our life trying to operate our lives based on the tools or the abilities or our knowledge that we have. And we get wore out because we haven't been being filled or charged with the Spirit, and therefore through our spiritual life we're going vroom, vroom, vroom. When God says, listen, I want you to come away with me and get filled with me. I want you to recharge your battery. We're going to talk about that for just a little bit. But before we go there, I've told my testimony many times, but I got filled with the Spirit. You know, I really waited a long time to be filled with the Spirit. It was like 2 minutes after I got saved. Right? I got saved, and the person who led me to the Lord said, "Do you want all God has for you?" And I said, "Well, duh." Right? Duh. And so, anyway, long story, I got filled with the Spirit about 2 minutes after I got saved. And so I began to read the Word of God, began to pray in the Spirit, read the words, pray in the Spirit. And so about 3 months later, I'd just been saved 3 months. we were in kind of a system where we had a lot of Bible studies. Well, you're teaching next Wednesday night. I thought, I'm teaching? I didn't know where the books of the Bible were. And I just had the New Testament. I didn't have the both. I had to go back to the index to find it. But I had read in the Gospels, as far as I'd gotten in the Gospels, that there was a place, and it was quickened to me, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self-same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. I said, I'm a candidate. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, and that's what the leader, or my spiritual leader at the time was saying, you're going to, okay, here's what I did. I don't recommend this, but it's what I did. I said, okay, Wednesday came, I'm supposed to be at, and I'll drive up to this house, and you know, we're going to sing a few songs, and then I'm teaching a Bible study. So, okay. I got there 15 minutes early and prayed in the Spirit for 15 minutes in my car. Just prayed in the Holy Ghost for 15 minutes. I went in, and literally I had, and some of you will know what I'm talking about, a Dake's New Testament. They were about this big, you know, and I just went, plopped it open. I looked down, Romans chapter 5, turn to Romans. I'd never read it before in my life, right? Again, not a preferred method. I'm not saying anybody to do this, but I trusted in the power source that I had when I received the Holy Spirit. And I read it, and not because of me, in spite of me, there were people who were filled with the Spirit. There were people who got healed and touched and saved and brought closer to God in that capacity. So years later, I'm been to Rhema, been to school. We had a small church in Belfair and been doing it for maybe a year. So I'd been associate pastor. Anyway, been a while. And I'm, as my custom still is, I get up early on Sunday morning, and I was driving into the Feller Center to set up, you know, set the chairs up and do all of that kind of thing. And I'm driving, we lived on the south shore of Hood Canal. I'm driving on that road, which I still love that road, but I'm driving on that road. And here's the thought that came to me. I'm getting pretty good at this. And I'm telling you, not a loud voice, not an outer voice, but in my spirit I heard, oh, really? Oh, yeah? And I said, oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Holy Spirit, I am so totally and completely reliant upon the power that I received when I was filled with the Spirit, with that anointing that was upon me, that you know, just forgive me. And by that time, I had some tools. I mean, I knew how to outline a sermon. I knew how to get a subject. I knew how to give the introduction. I knew to put 5 points in there. I knew a conclusion. I knew how to do that. Those were tools, and the tools weren't wrong. But the tools, outside of being hooked up to the power source, isn't what we need to get the job done. Yeah. Right? So anyway, that morning I got up to preach, and I had my notes all out there, and the Holy Spirit inside of me said, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. In other words, throw the notes away. That's not what we're doing today. What am I saying? I'm saying that I received power. I received ability. I received the absolute source of everything that I needed to fulfill God's will in my life. Right? And so did you. So did you. Hallelujah. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to talk about a few different things. But I want you to know, I want you to know that there are some things that we don't do on a regular basis that we should be doing. Let me say that again. There are some things that we should be doing on a regular basis that we don't do.
Amen.
And in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at, well, let's just read this and then I'll comment. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 15. He says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, we don't use circumspectly very often. That's not a vocabulary, but it means, really it means walk on purpose. Deliberately live your life in a manner that is purposeful and that you're doing it in a way that you're going somewhere, you're doing something. Don't just walk any old way, but do it not as fools, but as wise. Did you know you have the wisdom of God available to you? Did you know that He'll speak to you, that He'll touch your heart, He'll talk to your heart, but you have to stay hooked up to the power source. Hallelujah. Now watch. Redeeming the time because days are evil. In other words, your time is important and you need to take accountability for your time. And not just that. It's not just that, well, I'm not doing what I want for God right now. And I'm not saying you have to be 24 hours praying and studying all that. But if we're not walking circumspectly and not really taking advantage or accountability for our time, we'll let things slip. And we won't get the outcome that God wants us to have. Right? Again, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit for a purpose, to be a witness for Him. And not just a witness from your testifying about Him or preaching about Him, but your life is an example of somebody who's been touched by God. Right? That's so good. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. He's saying, listen, you need to live your life on purpose, for purpose, redeeming the time, but in that, be filled with the Spirit. And in the Greek, this word filled, we don't have the same tenses in the English language that's in the Greek language, but this is a progressive tense. And what that means is be being filled. Be being filled. Be being filled. An ongoing process that never stops. Be being filled. Be being filled. Be being filled. It's like this. If I had a glass of water here and I had, you know, another glass right here and there, that, you know, I could fill this glass up and I'd have a glass full of water and it would be filled. But watch this. If I had a glass here and I put a hose in it, it's being filled, but it's continually being filled. So it's spilling out and spilling out and spilling out and spilling out. Be filled with the Spirit. And we're going to go into a few things right here, but I want to just take a side note on that. Some of you have no idea about what I'm going to talk about, but there was a move of the Spirit of God back in the early 1900s, and it was called Pentecost, right? In fact, Azusa Street, and there were other places around the country that you know, the Spirit of God just moved. And one of the things that was brought back to the church was the ability to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And they didn't just pray in the Spirit just a little bit. They would go for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they believed that praying in the Holy Ghost, first of all, edified themselves. Second of all, it was an entrance into the gifts of the Spirit. And there was an empowering that happened because of it. And there's actually a place praying in the Spirit where, and again, this might sound weird to some of you, but I've experienced where you get to the place, and it's by the Spirit, where travail comes upon you. And it's like, I don't know how to pray for this situation like I should, but I need to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and it seems like the Holy Spirit takes over with you, and you begin to pray. What am I doing? I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit give me the ability to pray beyond my ability to pray. I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating that I was praying for a friend of mine's dad who was having an operation, and I started praying and praying what I knew in English, and that took about 3 minutes. But then I just, on kneeling by my bed, I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. And it was, I think it was like 25, maybe even 45 minutes. I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost. What were you saying? I don't know. But I know that I was praying according to the perfect will of God, because that's what it says in Romans chapter 14. And I just was silly enough to believe that. And I was hooking into the power source. And about 40 minutes in, I started to get this headache on the back of my head right here. And I knew it wasn't my headache, but it was intense. And then I prayed, and again, this is an old Pentecostal term. Jackie's there. I know she knows it. I prayed through. What does that mean? I prayed until that pain lifted. And when I met up with my friend, asking him about his dad's surgery, he said, yeah, it went well. It was just amazing. I said, well, let me tell you where that was. It was an aneurysm in his brain. Let me tell you exactly where that was. I said, it was right here. How'd you know? Because I was hooked up to the power source. And I prayed through.
That's right.
See, don't walk circumspectly, but redeem the time and get a hold of the fact that we need to be being filled with the Spirit. And part of that is, if you have a prayer language, use it on purpose every day.
Yeah.
Use it on purpose every day. Oftentimes, and I want to get to this other part, but oftentimes when I'm praying for somebody in the natural, like they come up for prayer up here or praying, I'll just begin to pray in English, and oftentimes I'll ask them, well, what do you want from the Lord? What, you know, and they'll tell me. And so I'll begin to pray for them in English the best that I know how. But then I'll begin to pray in the Spirit. Why am I praying in the Spirit? Because I want to hear and to pray through me exactly what they need. Because oftentimes what they come for is not what they need. In other words, you might be talking about the symptoms, but the root of the issue is a different issue. And it doesn't happen every time, but over the years, many times, I'll be praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden something will come to my mind, and that's called the word of knowledge concerning the situation that I should not have known. Right? Now, again, we're talking about the art of being filled with the Spirit, or the plan or the action plan for continually flowing in the Spirit of God. Or even when you're at that place where you don't feel God, you don't sense God, you don't think that He's around, you might even be going, where are you, God? It's not time to pull away from, but to get back into charging the battery so that you'll know what to do, right? Praying in the Holy Ghost. There have been times throughout our lives where it's just like, God, I don't know what to do, but I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not saying I get an instant thing, but I know that I know that I know that he's going to give me the answer. But back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 again. It says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. And that just means all kinds of stuff, right? Trouble. I mean, just anyway. But be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled. What does that mean? Well, right now, be being filled with the Spirit. When you leave here tonight, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you wake up tomorrow morning, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, when you're at your job, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, whatever you're doing, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that, right? How do I do that? Well, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do I stay in the Spirit? He said, here he's talking about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. What does that mean? That means putting the Word of God on your lips. Having the Word of God as your source of information. And sometimes it's like this. It's like, Lord, I don't feel anything. In fact, if I felt anything, it'd be like running, right? But I'm trusting, Lord, that your word is true. And in Psalms, and I've got a reference down there, but in Psalms, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this within me, bless his holy name. Come on, I know you're going through things. I know you need an answer, and I know you don't know what to do. But let's get together and say this with me. Come on, say this with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all of his benefits. For he forgives my iniquity. He heals my diseases. And my pathway he has stretched before me. Think about this, and it's just saying this. Say this. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Just say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. When you're speaking that over yourself, and you speak it over and over, you begin to paint this picture that God is with you, that he's for you, that he'll lead you, that he'll guide you, right? I may be that feel like that dumb sheep that doesn't know what to do, but I'm going to go, bah, because I don't know where the next green pasture is. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this mess. I don't know how I'm going to take my next breath. I don't know how I'm going to live tomorrow. But I have a shepherd who is leading me. How do I stay being filled with the Spirit? Keep speaking the word over yourself. And he says, again, look at that again. He said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Watch this, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Watch this. A hymn. And Augustine said it this way, and I just love it. A hymn is always sung. It's always to God, and it's always praise. Let me say that again. It's always sung. It's always to God, and it's always praise. Amen. Speaking to one another in psalms. In other words, singing. Now you might think, you can sing, but I can't sing. God wants you to know that he wants to hear your voice singing praise to him. And in the words of Richard and Karen Carpenter, I don't care if it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing. Sing. Praise unto God. Let me just put it this way, and you can understand. You know, when my kids and then my grandkids were, you know, 4 or 5 years old, they'd either be in Sunday school or they'd be at kindergarten, whatever. They'd come home with these pieces of art. There was just crayon just everywhere, you know, just crayon everywhere. But you know where they went? With the magnet up on the refrigerator. Because my son brought that home to me. My awesome brother brought that home to me. My granddaughter brought that home to me. Stayed there for a long time. Why? Because it may not have been artwork to you, but it was artwork to me. So why am I saying that? You might think, well, why should I sing? I mean, I don't like to sing. God wants to hear your voice. God wants to hear from you. And He doesn't want to hear, watch this. And I think this is great. You know, you're in your quiet time, you have praise music on. That's awesome. Nothing wrong with that. But you ought to be singing with the praise music. Don't let anybody else do your praising for you. You think, but yeah, but I don't. God hears it from your heart, not from your mouth. So what I'm saying is, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Begin to speak the word over yourself and over others. In Colossians, it talks about yourself, but start to speak it over yourself. Speak it, but also begin to worship. You need to be filled up. It doesn't take a long time, and we're going to prove that in just a minute. You can do this anywhere you are at any time, because it doesn't necessarily have to be loud and obnoxious. You can be on a break at work and just excuse yourself for a minute. And just go, Lord, I'm just, and you got a verse of scripture on the inside, you just begin to quote it, and then you just begin to sing a song, you begin to worship Him a little bit, and then it says, and spiritual songs. Now, I know that this can mean other things, but for me, when I sing in the Spirit, it takes me to a place, right? So I sing a natural song. I might sing, you know, I love you, Lord, or something. But then I'll begin to sing in the Spirit. What am I doing? I'm charging myself up. I'm being filled. 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 The art of being filled with the Spirit. Get in the Word. Get the Word of God. Remember what God says about you. Remember what God is saying to you. And in your... have an expectation, like in your Bible reading, that the Holy Spirit will say something to you. And then when He says something to you, begin to meditate on that. The Lord is my shepherd. You could just say that. And you could say that for now until Jesus comes back and the Holy Spirit would give you more and more and more and more revelation. I'm being filled with the Spirit of God by speaking to one another, but speaking also to myself. And then out of my own lips, from my heart, I'm going to worship God. And then if I run out of things to say in English, I'm going to begin to pray in the Spirit or sing in the Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, I didn't have that down, verse 44, it talks about how that they, you know, they were the apostles and people that went to the Gentiles, they were amazed because they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. How did they know they got filled with the Holy Spirit? Because they began to speak with other tongues and magnify God. What does that mean? I think it means that in their prayer language that they had, somebody was interpreting that and understanding that they were just magnifying God with their prayer language. So I'm talking tonight about being filled and the art of being filled or keeping filled to overflowing. And so if we'll get a hold of that and begin to demonstrate that in our lives, and especially when you don't feel it, especially when life is tough, especially when things aren't going your way. It's like, Lord, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said, Jesus, in this world I was going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Lord, I thank you, the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Right. I've been in places in my life where, and one I'm thinking of, where I was driving down the road and screaming at the top of my lungs, why, God? And, you know, the thoughts started coming, well, if he's deserted you, whatever, he might not even be there. And here's what came out of my spirit. Even though they slay me, yet I'll praise your name. Even if the worst thing that could happen based on what what's coming to my mind, even if the worst of it could happen, I will not forsake you and I'll serve you no matter what. Yeah. Right? Being filled with the Spirit by psalms and hymns and spiritual, I like this, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I like that. And he evidently likes that a lot. He likes that a lot. Whew. All right. Let's, a few more minutes and then we'll close. We were in Colossians last week, in Colossians chapter 3. And I want to go back to Colossians because this is where it's referred to also, but in verse 15, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called. You are called to let the peace of God rule in your heart. You can have all kinds of emotions, but have peace in your heart. How come? Because in your spirit, in the core of who you are, is where God dwells. And when you focus on God and him being in there, the emotions are there. The emotions are real. Nothing wrong with the emotions. Nothing wrong with tear, pain, sorrow. Nothing wrong with any of that. But if that's becoming your focus rather than the fire that's on the inside, you're going to get in trouble. But if you want to be filled, concentrate on that inner circle, right? Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called with one body, and be thankful. Hallelujah. Watch this. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Here we go again. In psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Every one of our experiences with God in prayer or in life should be ended with, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got a lot of things, Lord, on my heart that I could complain about. But, Lord, I'm going to find some things that I can be thankful for. And here's the biggest one. Biggest one. And all of us can go there. Thank you, Lord. I was lost, but now I'm found. I deserve hell, but you granted me heaven. Thank you, Lord. And then you can start just rattling. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my kids, my grandkids. I thank you that I live in a country that we can worship freely. Thank you, be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Look at in the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat sending the army out. We're not going to get into that, but sending the army out and say, here you go out and we're going to put the singers out first. The singers thought, well, great. But we're going to put the singers out first. Here's what they're going to say. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy is over me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you... And again, I'm talking about filling yourself up and being filled to overflowing with the Spirit. So we want to be singing psalms, singing hymns. We also want to be singing in the Spirit. Or praying in the Spirit. But we also want to have a heart of thanksgiving. Have a heart of thanksgiving. Here's what I want to do for it. And there's some other verses that we could go to. But I just want to do this on a practical level tonight. Here with us. Is that all right? Yeah. Now, you can either join in or not join in. But if you want to be being filled, you'll join in. Right, it's kind of our choice. I want to take the battery out of the tool, put the tool aside for a minute. That's what I have to do, what I should do, what I could be doing. I want to put that aside for and even the gifts and the callings that God has given me. I just want to put that aside for a minute, and put the battery back on the charger. All right. Okay, let's do that. Psalm 100, I'm going to read that. Psalm 100. I'm going to say it to all of you, but I'm reading it to you. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and he has made us. We not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Watch this. Enter into his gates tonight, right now. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generation. That means yours and mine. So tonight, just close your eyes. Tonight, we're entering his gates with thanksgiving. We're entering his courts with praise. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I've been redeemed. I thank you, Lord, that I've... Come on, say that with me. I thank you, Lord, that I've been redeemed. I thank you, Lord, that I have been sanctified. I have been set apart. I thank you, Lord, that you're in the process of getting me where I need to be. I thank you, Lord, that along the road that you're with me. You're with me tonight because you said in your word, you would never leave me. You would never forsake me. And like the psalmist said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And my righteousness is based on him who knew no sin, became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous because of you. I'm righteous because of your blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, oh, to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's sing it right into his heart right now. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, oh, to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. all of you watching online, God bless you. God, touch them, be with them, minister to them. Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.